we're up to, it's like 10-15 lines down on Chavtasimut Beis. It says Hachinami is the beginning of the line. Okay. So Hu Dehave Karule Kav Rishu. So there's a guy who they used to call Kav Rishu. Rashi. Male Kav Shtaros Yesh Alav. He's got like a kav, it's like a certain, I guess, weight of shtaros that are on him. Right? So, in other words, he's got a lot of people have debt to him. So there's like rumors that he's, oh no, I'm sorry, that he had a lot of people, he owes a lot of people money. One second. I'm sorry. That he's rich. Okay. Right. So they call him that. He's like full of status. So he says, so he said, Amar lei. I'm sorry. Here, Amar. Man masik bi elaponi poni. Rashi, l'mi ani chayev klum. Who am I chayev money to? But for pony and pony. Right. As I own money to these two guys, pony and pony. Right. Okay. So it says, Asu tav unhu tav uhu ladina kameder of Nachman.
Is that what that means?
I'm sorry. As the rumor was, like the guy is that he owes a lot of people money. So he says, oh, I only owe money to Plony and to Plony. I owe money to these two guys, Plony and to Plony. Right? What?
Isn't the Kavarishu saying this?
No, yeah, the guy who is this rumor, there's a rumor that he has a lot of shtaros out. I can't tell if it means that he owes money to people or he is owed money to people. Shtaros alav. I think it means that he owes a lot of people money.
What's man masik be?
Who lent to me? To whom am I chayev? Okay. Who is my creditor? Right. Besides for Plony and Plony. These are my only creditors. I only owe money to Plony and Plony. Alright. So what happened? Asu tavunu tavu ladina. So then these two guys, Plony and Plony, took that as a hodah, that he was admitting that he owed money to these two guys. So they sued him in court. So Amar Rav Nachman, said, Odom also shlo las piyas atzma. Okay. A person is accustomed to not make himself look wealthy. Right, look at Rashi. Adam Asoy, Lomar Librios, Chayiv Animaos Laploni. He is accustomed to say to people that I owe money to Ploni. Hisrachik me Ainara, because he wants to stay away from Ainara. He doesn't want people to say that he's a wealthy guy. So in order to avoid that appearance, so he might say, I owe money to Ploni and Ploni. But that doesn't mean he really does. He's just trying to avoid looking like he's very wealthy. In other words, the guy might want to admit. In other words, maybe he really doesn't have any debt against anybody. Right? But he just wants people to think that he has debt. Why would he want people to think that he has debt? Because then he won't look very rich. Whereas here he is, he's got a mansion, let's say. And he knows he can get ayin hara from people. Because people are going to be jealous. But so maybe what he's doing is he's trying to create a reputation that he's got a lot of debt. He owes a lot of money. So this way, no one's going to be jealous of him anymore. Because they'll say, oh yeah, he's got a big house, but he's got a big mortgage, and he owes money to this guy, and he owes money to that guy, and he owes money to that guy. So no one's going to be jealous of him. They're not going to have an ayin hara. So therefore, the fact that he admit that he's chayav to Plony and Plony, it could be that's what he does. He tells this to people that he owes money to Plony, he owes money to Plony, he owes money to Plony. That's why there's such a reputation about him. Maybe it's not a true reputation, but it's a created reputation, which he does in order so that he avoids Ainara. Right? This is a thing. I mean, people do this. Sometimes, some people, it's opposite. Some people like bragging. Other people like downplaying their wealth. You say, oh, how's business going? Oh, it's really tough these days. You know, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to make money. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean, if a guy tells you that, it doesn't necessarily mean he's really struggling. Sometimes that's the way a person talks, because he doesn't want to play up his success. That's like a person said, you can't necessarily trust the guy if he tells you he's not making money. I owe a lot of money to this guy, I owe money to that guy, I'm losing that, yeah. But a person is accustomed to doing that.
Excuse me, what line are you
on? So that's basically what Rav Nachman's saying. Rav Nachman's poskening that you can't count that. Oh, Rashi, shlo lahaspia, shlo leraos sava b'mimamam. So he won't appear satiated, full, with money. So basically it's saying is that even though he's admitting that he owes money, saying is, that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove anything. Maybe he was just saying that because he didn't want to look wealthy. Right? It's interesting, why don't you just say he was joking around, right? That's kind of funny. It's like, as we previously said, he's just kidding around. Right? But now it's saying, not that he's kidding around, but that he's trying to not look wealthy. Like, well, that's the problem we're going to have to deal with at some point. Like, what's the difference? But saying it's another reason why a guy might not be serious. Well, I guess he said it in public. He said it in public. So there are read them. There are witnesses around. And it's like a public statement. Okay, so that's real fun. That tells another story, similar story. It says, Ahuda v'korolei achbara deshachiv adinri. So there's a guy who they used to call him an achbar. He's like a rat who sleeps on his money. Rashi. Achbara. Ashir. Shelo nene mimono ke achbar zeh sheshachiv adinari zaveinu nene mim. So like an achbar is a type of a weasel or whatever, which sleeps on golden coins. But what's it going to do with golden coins? It doesn't use them. So too, this guy, he's like an asher, and he never uses any of his money. Right? So he's a wealthy guy, but he doesn't use any money. So there's like he had a bad reputation because of that. Okay, so what happened? So it says, Ki ka shachiv, when he was about to die, Amar, he said, Planyo planya masku bezuzi. Pony and pony, lent me money. I owe money to pony and pony. Okay, so don't think of me as this guy who just sits on my money. I'm sitting on my money because I've got serious debt. You think I can spend my money? I can't spend my money. I owe these guys a ton of money. Right? Okay. Basar the Shachiv, after he died, Asu Tavinhu the Yorshim. So these Plony and Plony came and they sued Yortoveya the Yorshim. Right? Because they inherited his estate, but they inherited his debt. Okay? So Asu came to Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. Amarlahu. Right? Amarlahu. Ki Amrinan Adamasa Shalas Bias Atzmo. When do we say a guy is accustomed to not try to make himself look wealthy? Hani mili mechayim. That's when he's alive. Aval achar misa lo. Aval achar misa. What does he care? People are going to think he's wealthy. He's going to be dead. So that's not the kind of a thing a person's going to do, right? So therefore, if he's saying that, it must be it's because he legitimately really owes them the money, right? Hey guy. It's alive in the social sphere. You'll say he doesn't want people to give him an ayinara. He doesn't want people to think he's wealthy. So he says that he owes money. But he doesn't really owe money. He's doing it in order so that he could help him in the world. But when a guy's on his deathbed, what does he care? The ayinara is not going to do anything to him. Right? He's already about to die anyways. So therefore, a guy would not say such a thing to make himself not look wealthy. So therefore, he's admitting it, and it's a legitimate admission. Right? Okay, so that was the din. That was Rabbi Shmuel Barosi's din. So paru palga. So he paid back, based upon this thing, the Yorshim paid back half. Tav unhu ledina leidach palga. So then the creditors, they claimed the Yorshim for the other half. Right? Because apparently they weren't paying the other half. So Asula came to Rabbi Chiya. So they came in front of Rabbi Chiya. Apparently, the original Dayan or Shavasi wasn't there or whatever. So they came before Rabbi Chiya. Amar lo, and Rabbi Chiya said, "Kishem she'adam asli shlo hasbi azatzmo." Just like a person is accustomed to not make himself look wealthy. Kach adam asli shlo hasbi azbanav. So too, a person is accustomed to not make his children look wealthy. So the reason why he's saying it is because he doesn't want people to think that his kids are rolling in the dough. So therefore, he's saying it the same way. He doesn't want to give himself look like he's rolling in the dough. He doesn't want Ayin Hara. He also doesn't want his kids to roll in the dough, whatever, same deal. So that's what Rabbi Chiya said. You don't have to pay. Told the Yorshim, you don't have to pay.
They get the half.
Ah. So Amar Lahu Nezel v'Nehadar. So should we Nashalim Achati Shegimalnu? So now the people who accepted the money, they said, "Oh, should we give back the money? We already accepted it, right?" Because these are the people they were trying to sue him, sue the ocean for the other half. And now Rabbi Chiya is saying, "No, you can't sue them for the other half. It's the same thing." So they said, "Oh, so should we give back the money that we took?" Right? Amar Lahu Kvar Horazakin. Right? No, he already paskened. Since Shemshel Rabbi Yossi paskened, the psak's intact, and you don't have to give back the money. Rashi Karos Akin Rishmal Shekibalt Dem Alpiv. Right? You accepted the money by his word. Velo Achlok Al Masha Asa, and I'm not going to argue on what he did. Right?
That's.
And if a Gersh is asking like this, Mamshach, if you're going to tell me Rabbi Yossi Rishmal psak is valid, he's a legitimate posek, he has the right to give a psak, he gave a psak that they're chayav to pay the full amount, so then they owe the full amount and they should have to pay the rest of it. And the fact that Rabbi Chiya has a different opinion is irrelevant. Elamai will tell me Rabbi Chiya is claiming that Rabbi psak is mistaken, he made an error. So if you made an error, so then you should give the money back. Right? What does it mean, Kfar HaRazak? I mean, his hurrah was the chayv to pay the full thing. So if it's on, if the psak is on, then it's on. If it's off, then it's off. Who cares what you already paid? You can, the money goes back if you want. So that's a problem. It's a problem. Right? It's a problem in terms of the psak. It's a little bit of a parenthetical point. It's not really what our sig is about. But if you want, we can take it up now, or if you want, we can take it up afterwards. I don't know, whatever you want, you know? This is, the sig really is about this machlokas, right? Apparently there's machlokas here. About whether you say this taina. What do you say? This taina of sholas bias atzmo applies on your deathbed, right? Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't apply because you don't do that on your deathbed. And then Rabbi Chiya says, "What do you mean? You do it for your yorshim, same way you do it for yourself. You do it for your yorshim." So apparently that was machlokas, right? So that's one thing. And then the other thing is this psak point, right? Two totally different points. It's also hard because kfar hora is akin. He already gave a rabba. But his hora was on the full amount. As long as his hora was on half, his hora was on the whole thing. For the time being, we should ignore the fact about the joking. Tosos, the top Tosos really takes that up. He kind of shows there's certain instances where you say the joking taina, and certain instances where you say the rich. Not make yourself look rich taina. So that's like you have to sort that out. But I mean, for our purposes, we just take it. This is a case where you can't apply the joking taina. I think they say a guy doesn't joke on his deathbed. That's a Gemara, and Gemara in Baba Basra. That's a good answer here. There's a guy's on his deathbed. You don't say maybe he's joking around. You don't joke around on your deathbed like that.
Even in the first case.
The plain is, I think Rashi said it before. The joking around is, look, he's making a taina on you, which is nonsense, and you know it's nonsense, so you play along. That's the idea of joking around. Yeah, you're responding to his ridiculous taina. Right, that's the way joking around works. Yeah, that's what Rashi, when the same as Shatani B'chav, we're first introduced to in Chav Tesman Aleph, Rashi said, Shochega Yisi B'chav is joking, B'shfil Shahisa Sho'alani, Mashalaya, because you were asking me something that never happened. So that's just joking around. You're joking around. I'm just playing along with the joke. Right? But just stop to go around the streets and making announcements that I owe so and so $100. That's not, what kind of joke is that? But there is that's trying to make yourself look poor. That makes sense. Given that there is an idea that a guy tries to make himself look poor, that's the way you do it. How do you make yourself look poor? You go around making an ad, telling people things like this. Right? At parties, you tell people, oh, there's that, I owe this guy, I owe that guy, I owe that guy. You get a reputation of being the guy who's in serious debt. So now, people aren't going to think of you, not going to have Ayanara. Yeah, okay, fine. So bottom line is, so this is an instance where that's the taina. The taina you could make is, I don't want to make myself look rich. Right? So definitely, in the case where you're alive, walking on the street, making these announcements, that's true. And that's the halacha, and that was Rav Nachman's psak. The question is, what about when you're on your deathbed? Right? The same way, arguably, the same way you wouldn't joke around on your deathbed, maybe you wouldn't do this on your deathbed. Right? But that was Rabbi Yossi Behuda's argument. Rishmael Rabbi Yossi's argument. But Rabbi Chia says, no. So I'll tell you Svara from, this is my Chavrus, Rabbi Shimel said this. Okay? That's what I learned with Rabbi Shimel. I mean, he's involved in a lot of Svara, as they say, but, you know, I just know this one he just pulled out. You know, so. Give him that. I had nothing to do with it. But he wanted to say it like this, is that what's the pshat when you say that a guy is saying, I don't want to look rich. Okay? There's two types of ways you could interpret that. One is a guy, like, so to speak, I'm describing a little bit here, over dramatizing it, but a guy, like, sits down and works out a plan. He says, listen, I got a problem. People are going to think that I'm rich, and they're going to give me an ayin hara. What could I do about it? I have an idea. I'm going to go around, and I'm going to make an announcement. I owe money to Plony and Plony. Right? And now, they're going to hear that. They're going to think I'm rich. Right? It's like a strategy. A plan. Right? A conscious, worked out, you know, game plan. Which is carrying out your best interests in the world via that strategy. If that's the way you look at it, then a guy would do that about his kids also. It's like estate planning. Right? I mean, the same way a guy is financial planning, there's an idea of estate planning. A guy sits down when he comes close to death with a financial advisor or whatever, a lawyer, and plans his estate. So I'm worried. I don't want my kids to look at Ayanara. What could I do to avoid that? I know what I'll do. I'll go around and I'll, on my deathbed, I'll make an announcement that Plony Plony, I owe $1 million, Plony Plony, and my kids are now going to put Ayanara. What's the difference? The same way a guy makes this worked out plan about his own best interests, he makes his own worked out plan about his kids' best interests. Right? I mean, that's what people do. Right? That's all you have Yerusha, and people write up wills and this and that. I mean, there's a whole industry, right, of estate planning. Okay. Or do you say no? That's not what's going on here. We're not imputing to a guy a whole worked out plan. That's not what's going on here. But there's a certain instinctive way that a guy, a rich guy or whatever, carries himself, that he's trying to be like self-deprecating. It's like an instinct that he feels other people's jealousy and he tries to avoid it by making these insinuations. He just gets a reflex. Someone asks him, oh, how you doing in business? Oh, it's rough. It's like he instinctually feels people's eyes on him and he feels the animosity or the jealousy and he acts on a whim, on a reflex, to be able to try to allay those feelings, those aggressiveness, those the jealousy, the ayinara. It's like, it's not like a guy sits down and makes a game plan, like an investment plan. It's just a way of a guy, he reads people, and people are sensitive. People who are, you know, are considerate people are sensitive to the other people's psyches, and he resenses ayinara coming upon him, and he adjusts, and he talks, and he says things, and that's what I'm saying is you can't derive there's a havdah going on because it could be it was just a spur of the moment judgment call, and he felt the animosity, he saw the people, and he wanted to try to not get the, you know. Someone is looking at his gold watch and he says, oh, Plony and Plony owe me money, whatever. So he's saying if that's the case, that is two things. First of all, that's how you live your life. You don't do that on your deathbed, is for yourself, because you're not in that sphere. That's not, you know, that's like the way you go through the world and interacting with the world and trying to succeed in the world and trying to interact in the social sphere, not worry about people's jealousy and this. And when you're on your deathbed, you don't care about that. That's not your thing. And your kids also, that's not your instinct. Your instincts and that sensitivity you have is about yourself. So your kids, you're worried about your kids. You're concerned about your kids. You make strategies for your kids. But your basic instinct, if you're saying is like there's this instinctual idea of how a person acts because he's insensitive about people's jealousy, that doesn't transfer to your kids. That's like your instincts are rooted in the self, and that's like a way that you respond in social situations when you're looking to get ahead, looking to, in your interactions with the world, that's the way that a person interacts. But again, on your deathbed, you're done with that interaction. You don't do that anymore. You're about to die. And your kids is like, it's a different department of the mind you're planning for your kids. Your kids are, you sit back and you think, I care about my kids. I love my kids. I want what's best for them. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to make a pot of strategy. I'm going to make a game plan. I'm gonna, you know. But that's the question. That's what Rabbi, that's not the way Rishma Rabbi Yossi interpreted this thing. He interpreted it as like an instinctual response, and he's saying that instinctual response doesn't take place anymore in the deathbed, and doesn't take place around your kids. But Rabbi Chiya's argument is no, it's not just an instinctual response. This is like a rational plan. A person actually thinks in like a conscious way about the dangers of Ayin Hara, and he tries to set up actions which will help allay those Ayin Haras. And if that's the case, the same way a guy will do that, of course, on his deathbed, he's not going to do it for himself because he's about to die. There's no point. But he's worried about his kids. Just like a guy will write a will on his deathbed, a guy will try to counteract the Ayin Hara on his deathbed. It's like a guy's, I guess that's what I'm saying, it's like a guy's avoidance of Ayin Hara. Like an intuitive, instinctual type of thing that a guy does. Or is it actually like a conscious plan that a guy works out and implements? That's like a machlokas about how to interpret that statement of Adam Asli Shalal Asriya Zatzma. I mean like this, is that there's certain people who are, I don't mean it's like a base primal instinct to avoid Ayin Hara. In a certain sense, the base instinct might be to brag. But there are certain people who have certain rich people who have a sense that Ayin Hara is bad. They realize from experience or whatever that if you brag, you get burned. If you get people, evoke people's jealousy, you get burned. And those people have trained themselves, or they take on a certain profile or modus operandi of avoiding, of sensing people's aggressiveness and their jealousy and avoiding it. And it becomes, like, of course, it might be based upon an intellectual realization, but it becomes a mode of functioning. It's not the kind of a thing a person plans out and maps out and implements a strategy. It's a way of functioning in the world, of interacting in the world, on the moment to moment, being sensitive of these things and, you know, speaking accordingly. But that's like, or do you say it actually becomes like an estate, like a will, like a document, like an actual step-by-step plan? Not everything, which, like, there are certain things which people, you know, do, social savvy people do instinctively, naturally. But not everything which you do naturally, you'd actually implement in a conscious, concrete way. Like a guy you compliment, like some people are complimentary to other people. They're just nice. Other people come in, hey, how you doing? They smile to them. And that they realize there's an intuitive sense that they want to make other people happy. And that's like a thing. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to consciously make a plan. When they come in, I'm going to say, how you doing? And then I'm going to make them smile. And it's like, certain things that don't lend themselves to that. Certain things that become part, certain activities or statements that a person makes become part of the fabric of how they interact with the world, but don't rise to the level of conscious, worked out strategies. And that's the machlokas here. Is what is Adam Asa Shalas Biyata? So Rishon held that this type of consideration doesn't rise to the level of like the conscious strategizing. It's like the person doesn't consciously plan every single aspect of their life. There's certain things a person does. You plan your investments, but you don't necessarily plan your small social interactions. Not everything in a person's life is micromanaged on a conscious level. There are certain aspects of a person's life that don't go planned, they just happen. And they're instinctual, like the way you talk to your friends. People generally won't map out how they're going to talk to their friends and what joke they're going to say and whatever. It's just, these things are natural. And it doesn't lend itself. People don't do that. That's not normal. A normal person, that's what he's going to learn. A normal person doesn't do that. You don't strategize about how to avoid ayin hara. That's not a normal thing that people do. So even on your deathbed, you just don't do that. That's not what a person does. People don't strategize about ayin hara. That's the machlokas. And there's a given here in the Mesorah that there's this principle of adam asa shelo las biyasas. Well, they know that that's a phenomenon. And we know that halacha recognized that phenomenon. Right? That's what Rav Nachman's saying. That's Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's saying adam asa shelo las biyasas. So now they came to this case, came before Rav Shlomo Yossi. He says, ki amrina adam asa shelo las biyasas. They're trying to arguing about the scope of that principle. There is a phenomenon like that, and people do talk that way, but they're arguing about, is that normal? I mean, it could be, of course, there's going to be yichidim who do everything. It might be crazy to people who do it. The question is that part of the assumption? Halacha recognizes this thing of adam asa shelo las biyasas. What is the scope of that phenomenon? Is that an instinctual sensitivity that a person has, in which case it's going to be limited to himself and limited to his interactions in this world? Or is that part, or does that rise to the level of a conscious strategy? In which case, are you going to say that even if it's for your kids, a person will do it? I mean, ultimately it boils down to, will a person do it or not? But it's like, it's a given. I mean, and obviously there might be some individuals who do it. That's why you can't necessarily just test it out. I mean, there might be some people that do it, but in order for it to say that it's going to win the case, it has to be a normal thing. Adam also itzidakach. A person is normal to do this. So the question is what is this principle of the person's asa shalas biyasas? What realm of human behavior does it fall under? And that will determine whether it's going to apply to your kids or it's going to apply to yourself. It's like, instead of, like, the facts are, the machlokes is, will you say it only by yourself? Let me say it even by your kids. But that was like my question. It's like, well, what's the argument to say it by yourself? What's the argument to say it by your kids? So I was saying, is that just a Matthias question? So at the end of the day, I'm kind of saying it is a Matthias question, but I'm saying it's like, it's not just would you say it by your kids, or it's like based upon how you conceptualize that type of a statement. And based upon how you conceptualize that type of a statement, it will result in it applying to your kids or applying to yourself. So now it's not just who do you say it by, it's what's the nature of that type of a statement. It's defining that phenomenon in two different ways. Depending how you define it, we'll have nafkamina and guys in the deathbed. In general, there's not going to be a nafkamina. See, in general, there's not going to be a nafkamina because people do it all the time. And has it worked out? Has it not worked out? I mean, it's not, these things are hard to define. Was it really a plan? Is it this? Is it, you know? But the nafkamina is going to be when a guy's in his deathbed. Will he still do it? That's like a rare type of a case, you know. Okay, so next time, hopefully tomorrow, that is, we'll try to answer the question about the Psach, the Kvar Hora Zakin, and then hopefully we'll take this top Tosus. Okay, this small Tosus here. Alright, which deals with the scope of when you say Meshata, I'm joking around, and when you say Adam Asa Shel Asbi Asatzma. Alright, well, it deals with those types of things. Yeah, kind of puts together these two aspects of the second.